Chapter 16. The Peacock Weeping Blood. The silence was broken by Freddy. "Fine words," she mocked. She had put some ointment on her face and it glistened. "I do not have to convince you," Sidney Grice responded pleasantly. "He will do it," I assured them. "Your loyalty is touching," Freddy sneered, and Lucy patted her wrist.
"Freddy is very protective of me," she said. "I only wish you would not keep distressing her."
"Surely that cannot be your only wish."
Mr. G rubbed his wounded shoulder.
"And Miss Wilde has exhibited a great deal of hostility towards me."
Freddy bristled.
"If you try to be a bit nicer..."
"One cannot be nicer if one is not nice to begin with."
Sidney Grice balanced the notebook to stand vertically on the arm of his chair.
"And, since I am not, your exhortation to make an attempt is in vain."
"In that case, if you two are going to squabble all morning, I might as well have stayed at home," I scolded,
taken aback at how much like my godfather I sounded. And Freddy and Mr. G froze like naughty children.
"But since we are here, shall we try to progress with the investigation?"
Lucy Bocking passed the needle up through her work, a peacock on an open-weave rectangle of canvas, his fan yet to progress beyond a saffron skeleton.
"What happened that night?" I urged.
Lucy looped the thread down and up again.
"I was very swimmy," she said at last,
and Mr. G leaned sharply towards her.
"Define swimmy."
"It was like being intoxicated."
"Is it an American word?"
He clicked his fingers and his notebook fell into his hand. Lucy touched her damaged cheekbone.
"I do not think so."
"What a relief."
He conjured up his modern mechanical pencil.
"Spelled with two M's?"
"I believe so."
Sidney Grice regarded her dubiously.
"Proceed with your fascinating account."
"I fell into a kind of stupor."
"Two M's," he printed in block capitals.
"What kind of stupor?"
"I was almost asleep, but still aware of what was going on."
"Like an evening at the opera,"
he shuddered.
"So what was going on?"
It was as if Lucy had not heard the question. She turned her attention to her sewing.
"I am sorry," I commiserated, "but we must know if we are to help."
At that moment, Lucy Bocking became fragile and vulnerable. Her hand was unsteady as she continued with her work. Freddy pushed the table aside and kneeled before her friend.
"You can do it, Lucy," she reassured her. "And you must. Is that monster to go free and repeat his crimes with other young women?"
"Stop." Lucy took a long, unsteady breath.
"I felt myself being pushed backwards," she continued at last. "And my skirts being pulled up."
She spoke low and quickly.
"And a man got on top of me."
"Did you struggle?"
Sidney Grice asked, and Lucy flared.
"I did not encourage him," she retorted bitterly.
"Sometimes women are too frightened to resist,"
he explicated.
"And the men have believed, or pretended to believe, this signifies consent."
"And you think that justifies their actions?" Freddy snapped.
Mr. G put a finger to his eye.
"I would not be here if I did."
"Perhaps you just want the money,"
she jibed.
"Some of that sentence was true,"
my godfather agreed pleasantly.
"I do want the money, but I do not just want it. For I do not need it, and, if that were my only motivation in life, I would be better off murdering my father, who has a great deal of it. Forgive your acquaintance's digressions, Miss Lucinda Sephora Bocking, and react appropriately to my inquiry."
Lucy grimaced.
"I tried to fight him off, but he was too strong and heavy, and I was confused. I did not really believe it was happening at first."
"Did you see him?" I asked.
"No."
The needle was being worked furiously now.
"As I was trying to explain, my skirts were up over my head."
Did he speak?
Not then.
Lucy pricked herself and Freddy flinched.
Did he smell of anything? Soap, cologne, tobacco, alcohol, coffee, rendered fat, fish, fresh or stale sweat?
Sidney Gryce curled his nose, as if being assailed by all those aromas at once.
No.
A red teardrop welled onto her fingertip, and the two women watched it in fascination.
I do not think so. Cologne, perhaps.
I cannot think of a delicate way to phrase this, I began.
Did he violate you?
Sidney Gryce broke in.
I assume you know what violation means.
For heaven's sake! Freddy said in disgust, and the drop quivered. Lucy jerked her head briskly, and the drop broke free, fell, and burst onto her tapestry.
Yes, I do, and yes, he did.
A bright stain flooded over the peacock's wing.
Completely?
Mr. G. pressed, and I could hardly hear Lucy's response.
Speak up.
Yes.
She dropped the needle and let it hang by its crimson thread.
Completely. And I know what that means, too. But even that was not enough for him, Mr. Gryce. He beat me.
Was this before or during the act? I asked, tentatively.
What the hell does that matter?
Freddy demanded fiercely, and Mr. G. cocked his head away from me. Before might have been to subdue his victim, I explained. During indicates a pleasure in the act of violence itself.
Dear God, what a world you live in,
Lucy said, with something approaching pity. We all live in it, I told her. But Mr. Gryce and I are trying to do something about it. I glanced across and my guardian printed, trying.
It was during and after,
Lucy replied.
Open hand or closed fist?
Sidney Gryce held out both hands to demonstrate the alternatives.
Open at first, slapping my legs and my arms, but only two or three times. And then my face with the front and back of his hand many times.
In what manner did he strike you?
He ran the end of his pencil across his lower teeth, like a stick on railings.
I do not know what that means,
Freddy protested.
You do not need to.
Sidney Gryce twisted the handle of his cane 6 times to wind up whatever mechanism it contained.
Miss Bocking comprehends and will respond accordingly.
Lucy collected herself.
Not wildly at first,
she answered.
Slowly and deliberately, like a parent chastising a child.
An interesting simile.
Mr. G. made a note and overlined it. Did he pull your skirts down to hit your face? I asked, and Lucy's shoulders shook. I half rose to go to her, but my godfather raised an arm to halt me.
Yes.
She motioned Freddy away as if feeling suffocated, and Freddy slid back but stayed on her knees.
But I still could not see him properly. The lamps had been extinguished.
And then? I pressed as gently as I could.
Then he started to punch me. In the body, on my breasts, and on my face, while he was still.
Lucy stroked the peacock's head to brush away its tears, but her action only resulted in smearing them.
Then after he had finished with me, and I thought everything was over, he became angry and more violent, hammering at me with his fists, and while he was doing it, he spoke more of a whisper with his mouth close to my ear.
Lucy looked at the floor. What did he say? I asked at last.
Dirty. He said, dirty, dirty girl.
Describe his voice and accent.
Sidney Gryce pressed a button, and his cane whirred, and a pair of curved calipers emerged through the ferrule.
Angry, quite deep, foreign, perhaps German or Dutch. German, I should say.
Indeed you have.
Mr. G. prodded the plate of biscuits with his device.
Do you know any citizens of das Deutsche Reich?
I have met a few.
You did not recognize the voice? I asked.
I did not.
I tried again. Did he say anything else?
Yes, later.
Then tell us when you reach that point.
Sidney Grice pressed the button again, and the claws closed smoothly on a Marie biscuit.
He stopped for a while, Lucy said wonderingly, and I thought he had really finished. But it was only to take his belt off and to whip me with the buckle.
Lucy recoiled at the memory of the blows.
And then he stopped again.
Bother!
The biscuit snapped, showering crumbs over the tray.
What next?
He asked absently, his attention seemingly fixed on retracting the calipers.
He put his belt back on.
Lucy hesitated.
I think. But even then he was not done. He kneeled astride me, his knees pinning my arms.
And do you have contusions on both limbs?
My guardian's voice boomed.
Yes.
Lucy's voice was weak in comparison.
Mainly on my shoulders.
I should very much like to see those.
You shall not.
I might.
I spoke when it was apparent that nobody else intended to do so. What happened next? Lucy held her right arm protectively across her, as if it were in a sling.
He grabbed hold of my hair.
Front, back, and or sides?
Sidney Grice asked eagerly.
One hand or two?
His left hand near the front at the top.
Lucy touched the spot.
He forced my head back and I saw the glint of metal and I thought...
Lucy covered her mouth. Do you wish to stop? I asked, and she shook her head.
I need to say it while I have the strength. I thought he was going to cut my throat.
She put up a protective hand.
But he dug the tip of the blade into my forehead and cut me.
Sidney Grice brought his folding magnifier out of his satchel.
I am sorry to press you, I said. But again, was this a frenzied act or... It was not a wild slash,
Lucy replied flatly.
He did it slowly, deliberately, like an incision.
I shall take this opportunity.
Mr. G got up and slid his feet cautiously, as if testing for thin ice, his laces still tied together.
To examine the laceration, the creation of which you so vividly recollect.
Lucy is hardly likely to forget it, Freddy objected, and Mr. G twisted his body, feet firmly planted on the spot.
Do I have to expel you from this disappointing house before I can get some peace from your incessant jibber-jabber?
He flipped open his magnifying glass.
You may wish to expose your own brow,
he advised Lucy,
rather than give me free rein to rummage through your coiffure.
Lucy parted and raised her fringe. The scar was in the form of a rough X, the top right arm being foreshortened, wide and white with red raised edges. Sidney Grice bent over, his nose almost touching hers as he stared through his glass. Lucy's lips parted.
I feel like a butterfly pinned on a collector's board.
The resemblance is superficial and fleeting.
Sidney Grice inhaled.
You do not, per exemplu, have any visible wings or antennae. In what directions did this disagreeable man draw his blade?
My top right down, and then the top left down,
Lucy recalled, and Sidney Grice traced the directions on her skin with his thumb, like a priest anointing her for the last rites.
You are certain of that?
Yes.
Certain enough that a man's life might hang upon your remembrance?
Yes,
Lucy repeated firmly. Mr. G ran his forefinger over the scar again, and Lucy closed her eyes, seemingly comforted by his touch.
Does it hurt?
He reversed directions.
Not when you do that.
It is closing cleanly, he decided, and may well heal completely.
He brushed his finger along the lines a fourth time.
Do you really think so?
Lucy sank back, mesmerized.
I have a minuscule quantity of doubt of it.
My godfather scratched a tiny crust with his finger plate from where the two lines intersected.
Though, of course, you shall always be scarred.
He pulled away, and Lucy opened her eyes and, to my surprise, merely nodded.
What else did he say?
I asked, and whatever spell she was under was broken.
Remember who did this?
Her voice rasped huskily.
Prior, simultaneous, or subsequent to him cutting you?
Mr. G shuffled backwards to his chair, like a flunky taking leave of his monarch.
At the same time, Lucy said.
As if he were making his mark, I conjectured.
It was probably the only signature he could manage.
Freddy's voice hardened with contempt, but her friend was lost in that room now, eyes searching the night for what she could not see.
Did he speak again?
I asked, and Lucy jolted back into the living world.
Twice. First it was had enough, and I think I said yes. I was too stunned to really know what I was doing. Then he ripped open my dress at the top and said, scream. And so I did, again and again. By then I was on the floor.
You were still on the sofa when he kneeled on you? I asked. That was not how I had imagined it.
Yes.
Lucy closed her fringe like the curtains of a puppet show.
And I still have the bruises to prove it.
Mr. G perked up.
I should very much like to see those, he said again.
You shall not,
Lucy repeated even more firmly.
For what it is worth, I have seen them,
Freddy volunteered, but Sidney Grice did not even acknowledge her.
At what stage did you quit the comforts of the sofa?
He printed, as he spoke, over two entire pages, I do not remember, and shut his book smartly.
Lucy dabbed her eyes. I do not remember falling, just being kicked and stamped on and curling up, trying to cover my face.
You have had enough for today, I said firmly, and prepared to do battle with my guardian. But Sidney Grice was swiveling in his chair to face Freddy. A beam of sunshine scattered from his glass eye, the spectrum caressing on his cheek.
Whereas you...
He rotated his wounded shoulder, which had benefited little from the hot weather.
Have been what some might regard as suspiciously quiet.